Welcome to the Down to Agribusiness podcast, a regular discussion on the latest topics and trends affecting global agribusiness.
Hello and welcome everyone to our latest Animal Farm podcast. I've got Joseph Harvey, editor of Animal Farm, here with me today to run through some information about our latest report, which is now published, the Animal Farm Top 60. So Joe, over to you. Why does Animal Farm publish the industry rankings?
Thanks, Sophie. That's a good question. I'm the author of the latest report, and I've been writing these sorts of industry rankings for quite a few years now. We published a league table of companies ranked by annual sales regularly for the last few decades. Subscribers to Animal Farm will get access to a top 20 table every year, but we publish one-off reports on a top 30, top 50, and now a top 60. And so what this really does is it shows which companies are performing well, and obviously the ones that aren't performing so well. And it communicates to companies how they are performing and how their competitors are performing as well. You can look at a league table for a particular fiscal year, and it kind of provides a snapshot on performance. But actually, in our one-off reports, we have a compilation of league tables across several decades, so readers can really see how companies have performed over a long amount of time, not just that snapshot of 2018, 2017 whatsoever. You can see from the 90s, 2000s, 2010, how a company has climbed up the rankings, or actually how companies have disappeared because they've been acquired. So for example, if you looked at the rankings in 1990 or 2010 or whatever, you can see firms like Boehringer Ingelheim that actually didn't used to be that big, and Ceva Santé Animale, and actually they're right up into the top 10 and top 5 now. And that perspective is only sort of provided if you have a historical ranking of companies. And on the other side, companies like Novartis Animal Health, Lohmann Animal Health, and Merial have disappeared in the last 5 years because they've been acquired. And because they've disappeared, smaller companies further down the rankings jump up a few places and become more prominent and have more focus, since they're deemed to be one of the big players now.
So it sounds like there's been a lot of changes over the last 30 years or so that have impacted the report. But why a new report in 2019? What's different for this year?
Well, this year is our first report that includes the top 60 companies. We're always looking to expand the information we can provide. And while many people will already know who the top 10 businesses are, and probably the top 20 as well, the smaller companies are not as well known. The companies from, let's say, 40 to 60 tend to be businesses that are domestic leaders. Let's say the biggest company in a particular country in Asia, Latin America, or some European nations as well. Whereas they are the biggest company in that country, they may not have as much presence outside their home nation. That really is kind of where the report changes the most. That's where the rankings change the most year in, year out. And there's quite a lot of changes further down our league table this year, which is kind of understandable really, because the companies at the top tend to be kind of further spaced apart by hundreds of millions of dollars of yearly sales. In fact, I think the top 10 companies probably make up around 80 to 85% of the whole animal health industry. The smaller companies are divided by a much smaller margin. Therefore, they tend to swap places a lot more within the league table. Currency exchange rates play a big role in our rankings because we report the league table in US dollars. So you can imagine lots of Latin American currencies fluctuate quite a lot. That means the company's revenues in relation to US dollars goes up and down as well. And actually, one thing I learned from this report is everyone thinks that the Chinese sector is booming right now, but I think about half of the leading Chinese animal health companies reported a good performance in 2018, where the other half actually performed quite poorly. And in a large part, this is due to African swine fever, which is ravaging the Chinese pig sector at the moment. And the companies that aren't as exposed to the pig sector in China have been able to maintain good recent growth, while the ones that are have seen African swine fever hurt their revenues in 2018, and that will only grow in 2019 as well.
And are these rankings affected much by M&A? Does that change how people order?
Yeah, it does. Most of the animal health companies, year in, year out, tend to post good organic growth. But because there's big gaps between all of the companies in terms of annual sales, the big changes in our annual rankings are when there's a particularly big merger. A company like Elanco in recent years has gone up several places because it acquired Novartis Animal Health and Lohmann Animal Health, and is about to acquire Bayer Animal Health, so it will go up the rankings even more. There can be little changes to rankings because a company is just selling more products or it's got new products, but the big changes come when a big company buys another big company, or two medium-sized companies come together and go from, say, 30th in the standings up to 20th. And quite a lot of companies that come at kind of at the bottom of the top 30 or the top 40 or 50, they've been acquired in the past, and that means new small companies come in at number 55 or something, because acquisitions at the bottom of the table also have a big impact.
And looking at some of the other changes that can impact the rankings, are there some key kind of growth drivers this year that we're seeing impact?
Yeah, so actually, as well as league tables of companies and focusing on the performance of companies, the introduction to this Top 60 report includes a lot about growth drivers for the whole industry, not just the companies in the Top 60. And there's some really detailed information on that in the report. So at a macro level, kind of for any company in animal health, there is a greater drive for more protein around the world. And there's a need for alternatives to antibiotics. And also there's a growing humanization of pets, whereby pet owners want the care they would receive for themselves for their cats and dogs. There's increasing focus on disease prevention in animal health. So instead of waiting for cattle to get sick and then treating them with antibiotics, the animal health industry is much more focused on intervening before the animal gets sick. So using diagnostics to detect diseases, or vaccinating animals to stop them getting ill in the first place. And the report also looks at sort of the digitalization of animal health, and that's on the farm or at home, how consumers are now buying pet medicines online. There's a lot of information on those trends as well. And it provides a kind of overview of the unmet needs in pet health and what drugs the top companies are developing for cats, dogs, and livestock as well.
Mm. Do you think these trends are set to continue for the future?
Yeah. One thing about the animal health industry, so if you went back 10 years ago, a trend in animal health was pretty much a trend for the next 10 years. But even in the last year, 9 months, the trends have been accelerating so much. Online consumption of data and information from pet consumers who are looking to Google before they consult a vet on how to treat their dog that they think might be ill. Something like that has been highlighted so much more in the past few months. And there are so many trends in animal health that are just accelerating so quickly. And it's a really exciting time to provide this type of snapshot of the industry, that things are changing so much and so rapidly right now.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions for next year's ranking and how those trends might impact it?
So if you look at the rankings for 2018, which is featured in this current report, that's fiscal 2018, and then the last report we did, which was the top 50, which was fiscal 2017, it's been quite quiet on the mergers and acquisitions front. So this current report kind of falls in between two big acquisitions. So Merial was bought by Boehringer. That changed the top five quite considerably. And then next year, Elanco will acquire Bayer, which again should see Elanco possibly go up to second in the rankings. And in terms of this current report, there were some acquisitions that it focuses on that will have an impact on the next 2020s report. So companies like Abaxis, Perrigo and IDT Biologica are all featured in this current report, but for the last time, because they've all been acquired. And they are currently in the top 35. And so that means they will be gone. They've all been purchased. And by the time the next report comes out, there'll be three new companies in the top 35. And actually, there was one point I wanted to make, that there's one company, it's at the bottom of the rankings this time round, and it's called Aratana Therapeutics, and it stands out quite a lot because in less than a decade, it went from revenues of zero to over $35 million. And it's an example of a startup company that grew into being the size of a business that could be in the top 60 very rapidly. It's since been acquired by Elanco, so it won't be in the report next time, but it'll be really interesting to see if any other companies young companies in animal health can go from zero to being in the report before they're acquired. Are they going to set up their own commercial sales team and be able to get to around the $35 million mark, which is kind of the cut-off point at the moment for companies in the top 60?
Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting report, especially with so many smaller businesses starting kind of new trends and impacting them. It's making the industry evolve really quickly, so it's changing year on year quite a lot. So thank you for giving us a run through of it today, and thank you everybody for listening.
Explore more from this podcast and find additional insight and intelligence at agribusinessintelligence.com.